Good morning. You can be seated. Great to be with you today. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we are so thankful for the fellowship that we have in you with one another and the extreme privilege it is to get together, to have your word preserved for us. And we just thank you for the study that we've had these last months, and just pray that you would bless this time and the reading and study of your word today and throughout the week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we will be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 15, the end of the chapter. If you are using a Pew Bible, that is on page 775 in the Pew Bibles. As we've been going through 2 Corinthians, we've come to the last few weeks, this two chapters on the subject of giving. And as we start this morning, I realize we come from a lot of different church backgrounds. Many churches, I've even been in some, that give lots of pressure to give. Maybe giving pressure to give a certain amount or a certain percent. Cindy and I have been listening to a podcast that's been talking about cults recently, and it's interesting that a lot of the cults give a lot of that pressure. You've got to give this certain amount of percent. So whether it's a cult or a legitimate Bible teaching, gospel teaching church, a lot of churches give a lot of pressure to give. You might even say tactics to give. I read a quote about Mark Twain, the old writer. He evidently had spent some time in a church, and on the subject of the plea to give, he said that once he was so sickened by the long appeal that he not only did not give what he had planned to give, but he took a bill out of the plate. Well, hopefully that doesn't happen here. So regarding the subject of giving, just like any other important topic in the Bible, what matters is not what we've been taught in the past and exposed to, but what matters is what God's Word teaches on the subject. So we've been studying through Corinthians. We've come to these two chapters, and it's really the longest section in the New Testament that talks about grace giving. And so as we get started, let's review a little bit. We have a map we'll put up on the screens here. Paul is writing from up there in Macedonia, probably from Philippi down to the believers in Corinth in the province of Achaia there. And at the beginning of chapter 8, we read about how the Corinthians, a year prior, they had been excited to give because way out east there back in Judea and Jerusalem, the believers there were really suffering. There was a famine going on, and many of them were persecuted, and they felt the brunt of that famine the worst. And so there was this excitement that the Corinthians had. That excitement was shared with the churches up there in Macedonia. They all got excited. They were giving and making this collection, and it hadn't been carried over to Judea yet. But meanwhile, back in Corinth, even though they'd started off with this excitement, they didn't follow through. And so as we read 3 weeks ago, Paul was encouraging them to make good on the promise that they had made and get involved in this grace giving. So we started off looking at chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, and we looked at principles of Christian giving. We looked at the fact that there's 9 of them there in that short passage. Maybe there's more, but at least 9. And right off in the beginning of that section, we saw that word grace come out, and we mentioned how the word grace there is the same that's used to describe the spiritual gifts that God has given to believers. And so just as God desires for believers to learn and grow in our use of our spiritual gifts, this giving, this is a gift that God has given every believer to be involved in. So we may not view it like that, that giving is a gift, but as we work towards the last verse in chapter 9 here today, we're going to see this is our memory verse. Chapter 9, verse 15, Paul describes giving like this. He says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And it's a great gift, not for the receiver, that's not who's in view here, but it's a great gift for the giver. And so 3 weeks ago, we looked at those 9 principles and the fact that it doesn't matter if you feel or consider yourself wealthy or not, that we're all designed by God to be givers. But it's a voluntary thing. It's not commanded. It's nevertheless, God's designed us to be givers. And why is that? It's because Jesus is the ultimate giver. We looked at that, the fact that he gave his life. That's the example that Paul gave. And if we are to be like Christ, then we will be emulating him as we walk with him through life. Because he's made us wealthy. We have many riches in Christ. And we looked at the fact that rather than losing out as we give, we actually gain as we give. We looked at the fact that there's that paradox. The more that we hold on to and withhold from giving, the more discontent we become. But the more that I'm involved in giving, the more joy that I experience in life. Because giving benefits both the giver and the receiver. So that's a recap of what we looked at 3 weeks ago. And then 2 weeks ago, we had a great weekend of remembering the resurrection of Christ. And when you think about it, it's because of the fact that Christ rose from the dead that we have true wealth. He was raised in power. And his resurrection gives each believer hope, not only just hope for the great here and now, but hope for the future. And then last week, Jeff led us as we looked at the practicalities of grace giving. We read through chapter 8, verse 16, through chapter 9, verse 5, and we saw that God's word highlights these qualifications for those handling the grace giving. And we talked about the system that we have here at El Frida Baptist, from the ushers that collect to the counters that count the offering to the treasurer. All parts of that process are designed to handle the gifts well and to avoid accusations. And we talked about how grace gifting is giving is motivated by a heart for the gospel. It's to promote the truth of the gospel. And giving is another way that we honor God. And then we looked at last week the qualifications of the grace giver. And we might think that's kind of sounds funny. Do you have to be qualified to give? Can't anybody just give? But we looked at this fact that, you know, giving it can be done begrudgingly and it can be squeezed out, but it can also be a cheerful giver is generous and that gift just bubbles out. And when our giving is based upon Christ and our richness in him, we are cheerful givers. So that's just a bit of review of the couple sermons we've had in this section as we looked at having a heart for grace giving. So we've had principles of Christian giving, practicalities of grace giving. Today we're going to look at the product of grace giving. And as we met the Bible guys this last Monday, I had thought about using the results of grace giving, but Jeff helped me. Let's alliterate this better, right? So we have these three things here. Principles of Christian giving, practicalities of grace giving, and then the product of grace giving. So let's look at, and I'll read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through verse 15. Now I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace overflow to you so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing, and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So that is our passage this morning, and I want to mention I am preaching to myself this morning, and I'm excited about the things that I've been learning. You all just happen to be in the room with me, but God's been challenging me in this area of giving. He's been encouraging me in this area, and I am seeing this more and more, as our memory verse says, as an indescribable gift. So we see the first thing this morning in the product or the results of grace giving is that we reap as we sow. In verse 6, he says, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap generously. It's obviously a farming illustration here today. And we have some farmers with us in the room. We have farmers in the area. We know this to be true. If you went out to the field, you'd have large fields out there, and you just had a little handful of seed, and you just scattered a few seeds out there, your sowing is very small, and your reaping later on will be very small. So he gives this illustration, and we see that we reap as we sow. Receiving more shouldn't be a motivation, but it, as we see in this illustration, we could say it's a fringe benefit here, that those that are generous with the seed, with the giving, will receive a bigger harvest. We reap as we sow. Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25, we see this principle many places in the Scripture, and in Proverbs 11 is one place. We see there there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more, and there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in poverty. A generous person will be prosperous, and the one who gives others plenty of water will himself be given plenty. So there's a biblical principle here, and it really doesn't make sense to the world. The world might say, how can one who scatters, gives away, how can that person increase? And how can one who withholds and doesn't give and saves, how can that person end up in poverty? We need to be careful that we realize the harvest is not just limited to dollars and cents, but there's spiritual blessings as well that are intended here. As we looked at a couple weeks ago, there's two kinds of richness and two kinds of poverty in the world. But the first product of grace giving is we reap as we sow. There's that illustration of the farmer, and comparing to grace giving, there is a difference between the two. With farming, your motives don't matter. The farmer could go out, and if he's got good seed and a good fertile soil and good weather, he plants, he's going to have a good harvest. It doesn't matter what his motive is, profit, pleasure, whatever. He's going to have a good harvest. But with grace giving, motives do matter. And we come to our second product of grace giving. That is hilariousness. Hilariousness. You'll see why we say that in a moment here. But verse 7, he says, each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. True grace giving is not done reluctantly. It's not done after being forced, but it's a decision of the heart. It's modeled after Christ, based upon the riches we have in Christ. And that word cheerful there comes from the Greek word hilaros, and it's the word we get hilarious from. So this isn't talking about others looking at the giver and saying, that's hilarious that they would give that money away, but this is looking at the word. It has two meanings. One is extremely amusing. That would be looking at the other people and saying, they're funny. But this is the second meaning. This is boisterously merry. The giver is boisterously merry, cheerful, like, I just can't believe I have the privilege to do this. That's the meaning here. It's talking about the joy of willingly giving. And those who have caught on to giving realize that it's because we have experienced this joy in the Christian life of grace giving. It's a great thing. But if you haven't experienced grace giving and how fun it is to be involved in it, it's kind of like chicken and dumplings. I remember when my sister, her name is Deanna, she was a little girl, I don't know, maybe 4, 5, 6 years old enough to talk. She asked my mother one evening, "What's for dinner, Mom?" And my mom said, "Chicken and dumplings." And my sister just heard the name, chicken and dumplings, and she thought, "That sounds disgusting." And I don't remember exactly what she said, but she made it very clear that she did not want any part of trying these chicken dumplings. I mean, she started to throw a fit. It came to dinner time, and I don't know how my mother did it, but Deanna did not want to eat these chicken dumplings, but she got her to try one bite. And so Deanna took this bite of chicken dumplings, and she loved them. I mean, she wanted another bowl full, and from that time on, she would ask for chicken dumplings from time to time. Anytime we were having them, she got excited. It was her favorite, right? And it's like that with grace giving. Now, before we give it a try, we can have no idea of the hilariousness of it, of how fun it is, how boisterously merry it can be. It's truly joyful. And then we come to the third product of grace giving this morning, and that is that God resupplies. Look back in verse 8 through the first part of verse 11. And notice all of the universals here. You might want to underline these in your Bible. See if you can pick these out. He says, God is able to make all grace overflow to you so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality. God gives back. He keeps giving back so that we can give and give again. It's not saying that we'll definitely be wealthy in all material things, but it is saying that we'll have everything we need when we trust him with our gifts. And did you notice all those universals there? Hopefully you did. All, always, all again, everything, every. And as I read those, I think there is a tremendous peace that's available to those who are involved in grace giving. In verse 9, he gave this quote. It comes from Psalm 112, verse 9. And in that psalm, I encourage you to read it as I did, but it's describing a man who trusts God. It's a man who is obedient to God, and he's compassionate towards others as God is. He's a man who gives, and he lives in peace with no fear. And it says his righteousness endures forever. Righteousness there is describing his godly character. It's not that he's made righteous by giving, but he's building this character through the act of grace giving. And then did you notice the benefit of giving in verse 10 there? God multiplies your seed for sowing. When I was in high school, I didn't do very well with advanced math. I was really good with basic math. So I know this. Multiplication is much more effective than addition. Right? Everybody knows that here? Did you go through? Yeah, Sam does. He's in high school. He's learned that. And then there's this phrase, for sowing. God's committed to equip you for every good deed. God's resupplying. He gives so that you might be able to give again. And then he says that he'll increase the harvest of your righteousness. Again, it's not that we are made more righteous, but we see that the giving is an act of righteousness. And there are good things that happen when we exercise this act of grace. Verse 11 says, you'll be enriched in everything for all liberality. Again, God resupplies so that we can give and give again. It's like there was an old commercial Jay Leno was in. I looked this up last night. It's way too long ago. I'm ashamed to say how many years ago it was. But anyway, he did this commercial for a popular snack, like a chip, right? And he says, there's this line at the end. He says, crunch all you want, we'll make more. Right? Some of you older people are nodding your head. You remember that one. Crunch all you want, we'll make more. The idea is, you can eat all as much as these as you want. We're going to make more. We're not going to run out. And that's the idea with giving. You can give all you want. God's able to resupply. He's not going to run out. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And then we come to their fourth product of grace giving, and that is that God is praised. And we see that in the last part of verse 11 through 13. Talking about giving, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God, for the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all. When people receive, they are thankful. But notice here the focus is on God. God's the one that supplies the funds. He's the one that leads the believer to give. And he's the one in the end that receives the praise. And giving, we know, is an act of worship. It's an act also of a ministry, part of God's ministry. And it's a proof of being in Christ we see here. There's this phrase, obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ. And it's a wonderful thing that God is praised. It's not just a simple act of giving, but it's a cycle of people seeing where the flow is coming from. It is coming from God, and he is praised. And then the fifth product of grace giving is supplication and strengthened relationships in verse 14. It says, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Receivers of the gifts here, they're praising God for the givers. And Paul's looking forward to the time when this collection for the saints back in Judea would be taken to them. And he knew what the result would be. And that would be that they would look back to the churches in Macedonia and Achaia, and they would be committed to praying for them. And there's this fellowship here from one believer to another believer, from one church to another church. There's this fellowship by grace giving that's encouraged. It's not focused on the gift, but it's focused on the effects of God's grace in the believer's lives. Because let's face it, if God's not working in our lives, none of us are willing to be givers. But when we have that relationship, when we see the example of Christ, then we're willing to follow in his example in grace giving. And then the last product of grace giving this morning is surprise. Verse 15, our memory verse. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Exercising grace giving is an indescribable gift. So I've just been preaching to myself today, reviewing some of the things that God's been encouraging me with. We are growing in this area. I would say in our family, me more than Cindy. Cindy tends to be more of a giver than I am. She's a willing giver, but God is growing me in this area. And for the last few years, I have seen that we really do reap as we sow. And God's been faithful to resupply. So if you're not giving, or if you maybe find yourself giving reluctantly, I want to encourage you to view giving differently. View that act of grace giving as really what it is, a gift from God, an indescribable gift. And I think when God gives a gift, we can't be disappointed. Maybe some of us have maybe picked out a gift that we gave to a friend or family member, and it wasn't exactly what they expected, and they open up the package and look, and they're disappointed, right? But with God, when he gives a gift, we can't be disappointed. When he says that this is an indescribable gift, I believe we can take him at his word and in faith get involved, and we won't be disappointed. And if we haven't gotten involved, we just can't imagine how great it is to do it. It's like those chicken and dumplings. but it's so much better. And I hope I didn't use an example that's like, ugh, nobody likes those, right? My mom's chicken dumplings, they were good. Last week we mentioned that we've been blessed as a church by a couple that have caught on to the fun of grace giving. And as I was preparing for this message, there's just no way to put this better than the timing of this is just neat. So we've been studying through these two chapters for the last few weeks, talking about a group of churches giving to a church that was hurting in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. And in the midst of all that, God put it on the hearts of a couple to ask one of our church members a few weeks ago, what does your church need? And, you know, it's kind of an awkward position to be put into that, you know, answering that question. But just briefly, it was mentioned that, you know, we have a desire to replace our plastic playground equipment that's been baking out in the sun for many, many years with something new, something more permanent, right? And so this couple, as was mentioned last week, they have given enough to buy this really nice new commercial grade playground set. We have a picture of what it'll look like on the screen here. So it's just a really neat thing that the money's already been given, the equipment's on order, it'll be here in a few weeks, and this couple, they are giddy with excitement. Like, they can't wait to see at least a picture of kids playing on this playground set, and we can't wait to be able to send them those pictures, right? So that's just one example of grace giving in action. Another example would be our outreach to kids through our Awana ministry, through Vacation Bible School. These ministries take money. And how great it is, though, to see kids here on a weekly basis throughout the Awana year and for that week of Vacation Bible School, see them here, hearing the gospel, coming to faith in Christ, growing in Him. It's a great thing. Another example would be our giving to missions. And I think about our missionaries that we support, and I know that there are believers around the world today that would not have come to faith in Christ, would not have had that opportunity to hear about Christ if it hadn't been for churches like Elfrida Baptist and other individuals and churches giving to send missionaries to them. So it's a great thing. And just a few examples of grace giving, that it's an indescribable gift. I hope you see it that way this morning as I am. Let's close in prayer. Father, you are the biggest giver. Thank you for giving Christ, who for the joy that was before him, even though he didn't look forward to the cross, he didn't want to experience the pain, but he did. And thank you that we have that example. Thank you for the richness, the peace that we have in our lives through receiving him as Savior, because he's paid that penalty for sin. And Lord, you asked us to trust you and to be involved in grace giving as you are. And I pray that we would be obedient and be making this an item of prayer to ask you how much we can trust you for, how much we can give and see you work through the gifts to bring others to Christ, to bring others to a closer walk with you. We thank you for the privilege it is to give and for how you have blessed us in so many ways. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.